The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Team Toyota, they've been selling and servicing new and used Toyotas in your community for over 50 years. And you can reserve your next new Toyota with them today. You'll get a realistic timeline, and even in this crazy market, they won't charge you over MSRP. Or don't wait at all. With over 75 certified Toyotas, including a bunch of RAV4 and Highlanders, you can drive one home today. And you can always trust them to maintain your current vehicle. Their service and collision centers are high-tech, comfortable, and will save you time and money. Team Toyota can help you go anywhere you want, but they'll always be your hometown team. Just visit teamtoyota.net and choose from three locations in Langhorne, Glen Mills, or Princeton. Hey, everybody, and welcome into the Phillies Talk podcast presented by Team Toyota. I'm Corey Seidman. He's Jim Salisbury. It's a Monday morning, and the Phillies are off today after a pretty big week out west. They went to Seattle. They won 2 of 3. They went to Dodger Stadium. They won 3 of 4. Jim, they were one out away from sweeping the Dodgers in a four-game series. It would have been a stunning result. One out away, two outs, nobody on in the ninth inning Sunday. Corey Knebel on the mound, then it goes Cody Bellinger with a triple, Chris Taylor, a walk, Gavin Lux with a walk-off two-run double, kind of putting a sour taste in the Phillies' mouths to end the trip. I mean, yeah, it's great to win 3 of 4, but the bullpen costing you in that final game, kind of a punch in the gut to end the series.
No question. They were actually one strike away when Bellinger gets on top of that fastball and drives that triple to right field. You could see the catcher Stubbs was setting up away. The pitch was in. He could turn on it. Castellanos was shading the other way. So, you know, it's in the corner and allowing that to be a triple. Yeah, you're right. Whatever you want to call it, punch in the gut. It was a real tough way to end. It was a good trip, real good trip. It could have been a great trip. And that's a game, to me, you have to lock down. That's a game a good team locks down. It comes out of there with a sweep. You had them down. You needed to keep them down. And it started in the eighth inning when you let them chip away. When Familia, you know, he had trouble throwing strikes, and the Dodgers grind out a run against him. All of a sudden, the Dodgers, I mean, they were dead. Now, all of a sudden, they have confidence. Now, all of a sudden, everybody in the bullpen is just a little bit tighter because it's a one-run game. Knebel did not have good command. I mean, he gets two quick outs. He's one strike away, but, he missed a couple spots, missed a spot on Bellinger. Then he walks Chris Taylor, and that Taylor is such a dangerous hitter. And then Lux, he doubles up on – he didn't throw a breaking ball to Taylor, I don't think. And then he doubles up on the breaking ball to Lux, and Lux serves one out there for the game winner. It's a game you have to win. It's a game a good team wins. It's a game that a good team puts away. And I can't put it all on Knebel, though the other day I was talking about Knebel and how he takes the adventure out of the ninth inning. Maybe you should punch me in the face for saying that. but it started – you know, it started to unravel with Familia. You lock down games even before the ninth inning. It's not just the ninth inning guy that locks down that game. And them putting together a little something against Familia in the eighth inning woke up a team that was ready to pack it in. And then they completed the comeback in the eighth inning. And you're right, it left a sour taste. I mean, it should have been a 6-1 road trip. It's a good 5-2 road trip. It should have been a great 6-1 road trip with a sweep against one of the best teams in baseball. And then that flight home is like 20 minutes, you know. Instead, you know, it grinds on you a little bit. It was good. It could have been better. And I look at the work of the bullpen in that on the trip and in that Dodgers series, especially. I mean, the bullpen walked 15 batters in 12 2/3 innings out in LA in those four games. That's a recipe for disaster. for disaster. You start giving free base runners, and they start seeing a lot of pitches. That's how you lose ball games. And yesterday was a unfortunate case in point, to put a little bit of a mud blotch on a pretty good trip.
Yeah, walks have definitely been the problem in the Phillies' bullpen. Corey Knebel, Brad Hand, Familia, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and Jose Alvarado have combined for 31 walks and 7 hit-by-pitches in 60 innings this season. Hand, for example, 12 base runners his last 5 innings. Knebel saved one of the games in the Dodgers series by working out of a bases-loaded jam. Alvarado's been an adventure. So, yeah, the walks have been a real problem for the Phillies. The bullpen hasn't been the disaster that it was in 2020 and 2021, but it's costing them some games here early. Yeah. And, you know, this was a great trip otherwise. Offensively, the Phillies did a lot of damage. You have to think that they gained some confidence on this trip. I mean, I was just looking up and down the roster and all the different contributions they received from these position players. You had Bryce Harper, who had 7 extra base hits in a 3-game span, which set the record for the most ever by a visiting player in 3 games at Dodger Stadium. Gene Segura has hit 500 over the Phillies' last 3 series, 16 for 32 over his last 9 games with power. Rhys Hoskins has hit 375 during the road trip. You had big hits from Alec Bohm, big hits from Odubel Herrera, big hits from Bryson Stott and Johan Camargo. So it was just an example out west of the Phillies, you know, really getting a boost from everybody.
Yep. Stott helped them win a game. We've talked a lot about how important Rhys Hoskins is for bringing it all together at 10 RBIs, 4 home runs. I mean, that's when he gets going, the team gets going. Harper's been sort of, I guess, otherworldly. He's been tremendous. And you mentioned Gene Segura. When he's hot, I mean, he's line drive after line drive. He's on base, making things happen. Castellanos has been a consistent force, really, since game one of the season. So on that trip, they hit 287 with 14 home runs. That's 2 a game. That's good. 15 doubles. They had an 865 OPS, and they averaged 7.1 runs per game. That's kind of, we expected offense to be their calling card. We'd like the starting rotation. That'll win you a lot of ball games if your bullpen can protect leads.
Right. And, you know, the Phillies now are back home. They might not have Bryce Harper, who you mentioned is red hot. He's locked in. He's leading the majors in extra base hits. He might not be able to play until Wednesday. He had a PRP injection in his injured right elbow over the weekend. He sat Sunday. The Phillies knew he was going to sit Sunday, might also be sitting Tuesday. This is like a precarious spot that Harper's in, Jim. Getting a shot to enable him to, you know, potentially be able to pick up a ball later in the season. He's not going to throw for another month here. There's just the worry that this gets worse for Harper, right?
Well, the hope is it doesn't get worse. That's why they're treating it this way, to kind of the nature of this treatment, the PRP, it's something that speeds healing. You know, they take your own blood and they separate some parts of it, and then you come up with this platelet-rich plasma, and they inject it in there, and it's supposed to speed healing. I mean, he's got a small tear in the UCL. They're hoping it doesn't get any worse. They're hoping this helps it heal over. And I mean, clearly they're trying to manage it in the short term and the long term. And you know, the hope is he doesn't end up in surgery. And also, if he ends up in surgery, it's after the season and after he can keep, you know, raking for you. So, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. If it gets worse, you know, he might get to a point where he can't swing. So they gave it to him on Sunday. That gives it, lets it work on Sunday, lets it work on Monday, lets it work on Tuesday. And, you know, I'm sure he'll test it afternoon on Wednesday afternoon, see if he can get back in the lineup. But yeah, if it gets worse, I mean, you're in big trouble. I mean, we know how indispensable he is. We know how indispensable JT Realmuto is. I put Zach Wheeler on that list. I mean, Castellanos, all these guys. It's a, you know, they got some good players, but they don't have a lot of depth. So you know, you're hoping to. I mean, that's what make that loss Sunday. Another reason that loss Sunday in LA was just crappy, you know, is because you gave JT Realmuto a rest, which he needed. I mean, the guy carries a big workload, and he's your starting number one catcher. And you gotta manage him to get him through the season. He's had injuries the last 2 years. You get him off his feet. You get him a rest. You should have won that game. You're without your red hot Bryce Harper as he's getting a medical treatment to manage an issue so it won't become worse. And you should have won that game. You should have won that game without those two guys. That's what makes that entire loss even more troubling, is that you survived it. You survived getting your catcher a day off, which you needed. You survived, you know, your big gun getting worked on, and they don't win the ball game. So they'll be without Harper at least on Tuesday night, and we'll see when he gets back in there. But the hope is that this, you know, at least stabilizes everything and you know, expedites some healing. There have been cases where small UCL tears become, you know, healthy again without surgery. If it gets worse, I guess they would have to consider surgical options. We talked the other day about they now can fix small UCL tears without doing Tommy John surgery. Reese Hoskins had that procedure a couple winters ago. But, you know, you hope you don't have to go there. You hope that this thing heals over and you can manage it, because certainly they've been managing it so far. This happened on the 11th of April, and they've been managing it, and he's leading the world in extra base hits. So you hope he can continue to do that.
So, Jim, what do you make of this Phillies team? 35 games into the season, they're about a fifth of the way through the season, a little bit more than 20% through. Offensively, you know, especially after this big week, they now rank second in the majors in batting average. They lead the majors in slugging, lead the majors in OPS, third in runs, third in stolen bases, fifth in home runs, first in extra base hits. So offensively, it's kind of been what we expected. There have been points this season where the Phillies have looked like a losing team. There have been points they've looked like a winning team, certainly last week. Overall, the record 17-18, a game under 500. What do you think? How do you size this team up? Are they as good as you expected, a little worse than you expected? Have your expectations changed at all?
No, my expectations haven't changed. It's a good time to ask that question. I always think about 40 games in. You take a look at, you know, what you are, you know, around Memorial Day, maybe stretching it a little bit. Good checkpoint to determine what you are. I think they're a team with a very good offense that's streaky. A team with, and you know, I think Knebel's going to be all right back there, but I still think the bridge to him is going to be iffy. Sir Anthony, I think, has exceeded, maybe not exceeded expectation, because we all know he's pretty good, but how important he's been so early, and they've been able to lean on him. He's going to be, you know, they need him to be, he's going to have to evolve into the number one bridge guy, in my opinion, and you just hope he stays healthy. Starting rotation has had, you know, they've had some really good stretches here. Defense has been better than it was last year, though not perfect. It's cost them a couple games, but it hasn't cost them a week, and it hasn't been as ugly as it was a year ago and even the previous year. So I guess we all expected a little quicker start, but my, you know, my expectations long range are that they're going to be in it. They're going to be dangerous because of their offense, and they're going to need to stay healthy in that starting rotation, because we like the five men, but they only go really five deep. So the slow start really doesn't concern me at all, because I still think if they stay healthy, their best baseball is in front of them. So this little stretch that they're coming out of, you know, 5-2 road trip, came at a good time. I think it was a good good way for them to kind of stabilize things. And this is an important homestand coming up. You got the Padres, who are a good club. You're going to face, I know Darvish is in there, Clevenger's in there. You're going to face some pretty good pitching. You just, you know, need to keep it going here. Need to build on this. Hoskins needs to stay hard, and you need to make sure this injury with Harper doesn't get any worse.
Yeah, the Phillies are going to see Mike Clevenger, Blake Snell, and Yu Darvish in that series against the Padres. It'll be the season debut for Snell. Clevenger missed all of last season after undergoing Tommy John surgery. He's made two starts so far this season, hasn't gotten to five innings yet. And then Darvish, pretty high ERA, 4.62 on the season, but that's a guy who can no-hit you through seven innings on any given night.
Yep.
Then in that Dodgers series, looks like the Phillies are going to face Julio Urias in game one. They have to be feeling pretty confident against that guy after homering four times against him at Dodger Stadium. They hit a couple of good ones in Urias and Buehler. I mean, I wonder if that can really help this offense take off. It's one thing to perform. It's another thing to do it in a pitcher's ballpark against a team that entered the series with a 2.26 ERA.
They really took it to some good pitching. You're right. And that certainly has to help their confidence as the Dodgers come back through later in the week. But we all know the nature of good competitors is, you know, you get bloodied one night and your resolve to take care of business the next night is even greater. So, you know, that's the fun of it all. The game within the game, when you're talking about, you know, elite competitors, you get kicked around one night, you're going to want to kick around somebody the next night. So I think the Phillies have had a good look at those guys, you certainly should have some confidence against those guys. You can't just throw your bats out there and expect to beat them up. You got to have really good at bats, and when they make mistakes over the plate, as those guys did, you gotta hammer them. You gotta hammer them. That's the name of the game at this level. When a mistake is made over the plate, you gotta hammer it. When a pitcher has poor command, you have to be selective and look at the pitch. Look at the pitch, and then you know take for, if he's going to give you a first base, you take it. And then when the next guy comes up, somebody makes a mistake, you know, that's when you drive the ball. And that's how they beat those guys. And that's why their confidence should be good against them coming in. But you can't assume anything. You got to go out there and you got to grind every at bat and compete every pitch.
Padres and Dodgers are tied atop the NL West. Padres are 22-13. Dodgers are 21-12. And that is the Phillies week ahead. Thanks for listening to the Phillies Talk Podcast. He's Jim. I'm Corey. Catch you later in the week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.